If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to StephanieMiller.com to find out how.
Chris, who is it?
It's Craig Unger, author of The Fall of the House of Bush, the untold story of how a band of true believers seized the executive branch, started the Iraq War, and steal and perils America.
What are the chances that that is so weird? Good morning, Craig.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being had. We are such big fans. You, of course, are the best-selling author of House of Bush, House of Saud, which was a surprise hit. And this new one, I could interview you for 3 days over.
Well, it's an amazing story, and I think a lot of people don't really understand why we got in the Iraq War. They know, they keep hearing, well, you know, we spend $40 billion a year on intelligence, and gosh darn it, we just keep getting it wrong. And I think it's much more complicated than that. That there were actually, we're there because of intelligence successes, that is deliberate attempts
yep.
to deceive the American people.
Well, you know, that's the thing, is the way you document this is, may I just say, it's giving me night sweats already, and it's the morning.
Well, I don't mean to keep you up at night.
You talk about you describe it as an ongoing war between faith and reason, between fundamentalism and the modern scientific post-enlightenment world, the story of radical neocon ideologues secretly forged an alliance with the Christian right in the presidency of George Bush, driven by delusional idealism and ideological religious zeal, waged unilateral preemptive war in the Middle East, not to mention a domestic war against reason, science, and civil liberties. If that doesn't sum it up, but you're right, I mean, what a toxic brew for our country, right?
Right. No, it's been a radical, radical turn to the right, and I think we're going to be paying for it for decades to come. And it's not just the Iraq War. There's been a real brutal assault on us as a constitutional democracy in terms of the accumulation of power in the White House. We now detain prisoners without any rights whatsoever. There's torture policies that it used to be Saddam Hussein was a torturer. Now we are.
Well, I think this made a lot of Americans uncomfortable. Just this whole, it started early. God made me president. God wanted me to invade Iraq. But when you talk about, it's almost the rapture crowd, isn't it? They seemed really disappointed about the Iran NIE, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like they want a powerful enemy so they can keep declaring a bigger and bigger war in the Middle East. And what you see from the neoconservatives is this, grandiose vision of redoing the entire Middle East. And I think the two, basic reasons for it are support of Israel and, oil, our oil needs.
Well, and you were the one that broke the story about the, after 9/11, about them getting all the Saudis out of the country, including members of the Bin Laden family. Why do you think that didn't resonate more with the American people?
Well, it's very odd. I think the media has done a terrible job in a lot of ways, and there are a couple of reasons for that. There's been enormous consolidation in the media, so there are very few independent voices. We're drowning in media, but there are really five or six huge conglomerates that really shape the national conversation. And in addition, I think a lot of reporters want to get that exclusive interview with Dick Cheney or whomever, and that
mm-hmm.
means they don't ask the tough questions, because that'll mess up their relationship with the White House.
Well, of the many terrifying anecdotes in your story, the one about how Cheney basically carried out what amounted to an executive coup. He basically disabled the entire national security apparatus of this country and created his own.
Right. Again, we spend $40 billion a year on intelligence gathering, and he was able to disable that entire apparatus. When Al Gore was vice president, he just had three or four advisors on national security. Cheney had about 15 of them, and in addition, he had teams of neoconservatives in the Pentagon, in the State Department. He knew how to grease the wheels of the bureaucracy, how to bring it to a halt, how to put people in the State Department to spy on Colin Powell and neutralize him. He's really a brilliant guy at manipulating a bureaucracy.
The other thing that we've heard a lot about is this relationship between Bush Sr. and Jr., and you talk about how this is an edible problem that has really affected the fate of nations. I mean, the fact that how he set about to dismantle his father's legacy and reverse his policy on the Middle East, I mean, that is just terrifying, isn't it?
Right. The first chapter I call Oedipus Tex, and And the reason for that is you start to look back on this administration, and you realize George W. Bush has put together an administration consisting of his father's worst enemies. And his father had done battle against the neocons back when his dad was head of the CIA in 1976. He had no fondness for the Christian right. At one point, he called them the extra chromosome crowd. he had to apologize for that one. And probably
that was a little funny.
Probably his worst enemy of all was Donald Rumsfeld.
Right.
And of course, he had a key role in this administration.
Well, and here's some things I had not heard. Again, it's the really, really toxic brew of the neocons and this evangelical fervor. And you talk about that George Bush is being born again. They originally, of course, did this whole story that it was Billy Graham. But it was actually this preacher in Midland, Texas named Arthur Blessett, who used to preach at concerts. He's one of those crazy guys with a megaphone.
Yeah, he's quite a character. I did interview him, and Arthur Blessed is sort of renowned because he's had a 12-foot cross of Jesus, and he's carried it through 300 countries. It's the longest walk by a human being in the history of the world, according to the Guinness Book of World Records. And he used to have a Jesus coffee house on Sunset Strip in Los Angeles.
Where he preached to bikers, druggies, hippies, mafia hitmen, people like that.
Right. And
people of George W. Bush's ilk.
Uh-huh. Right. And it was known as he was famous for what was known as the toilet baptism, where they would dump their drugs in the toilet
and then
flush them and accept Jesus.
Oh, dear God. Okay. And then you also talk about how the neocons went down to Austin, Texas, before Bush was even president, right, and sort of molded him like a little ball of clay, like Gumby. They decided that he was the perfect... He was the perfect idiot. Blank slate.
Well, exactly. And this really hasn't been reported before. A lot of people, I think we've been so blinded by 9/11. It was such a traumatic event. But a lot of people told me this war would have taken place even without 9/11. And what you see is, and this starts far earlier than anyone has reported, that as early as 1998, several of the neocons, like Paul Wolfowitz, Richard Perle, and Elliot Abrams, made these semi-secret trips down to Austin, Texas, and they sort of started indoctrinating Bush, who had absolutely no background in foreign policy.
Perfect. No foreign policy experience of any kind. Just a blank slate. Perfect. He was like an Etch-a-Sketch. So now, the other thing is the Colin Powell story, which I don't to this day people wonder why he did this. You talk about how he became aware that this evidence came from the vice president's office, a breach of intelligence protocol, and that very little of it was standing up to the light of day. Why did he lend his reputation to this in the end, do you think?
Right. Well, I think it's one of the great disappointments among all American political figures because, at one point he was the most admired man in America, period. And he has such a commanding presence. I talked to people in the State Department who were overjoyed when he became Secretary of State, and they ended up being bitterly disappointed. And he simply, he ended up becoming the best salesman on the planet for the neocon view of the to start the war. When he went before the General Assembly, he had so much, the General Assembly of the UN, he had so much credibility. And I think his great failure, he wasn't really standing up for his team. You could see that the neocons were fabricating intelligence again and again and again. And the State Department has its own intelligence unit, but he did not bring them into battle to do battle against the neocons.
Is he ever going to come out and tell the real story?
I wouldn't count on it. I interviewed at great length his chief of staff, Colonel Larry Wilkerson, who gave me sort of very much an inside view. So that week before he makes his presentation before the United Nations, I think it was one of the most widely watched televised events in recent history. Mm-hmm. And he hit a home run as far as the neocons were concerned. Ugh. But it turns out there have been a lot of lies.
Yep. No, I'd like to leave everybody with a happy ending, but the fall of the House of Bush concludes with a troubling look at the administration's latest moves in Iraq, the impact of the surge, the various ways the neocons still seem to have their eyes on Iran, despite the intelligence to the contrary.
Right. Well, there has been some good news in the last week or so since the book came out, which is this national intelligence estimate that says that Iran does not have an active nuclear weapons program. And I think once again you see that there's this war over intelligence, that these aren't intelligence failures, that the neocons have been trying to convince us that we're at grave risk, first from Iraq, now from Iran, and it just isn't true.
Right, well, but now we've got Republicans questioning the Iran finding and saying they want another opinion. They want a bipartisan commission now. They don't believe the 16 intelligence agencies. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Right, absolutely. They won't accept reality for an answer, and that's where I think the neocons are very similar to some of the fundamentalists.
Craig, your book is wonderful, terrifying, not for the kids. It is The Fall of the House of Bush, the untold story of how a band of true believers sees the executive branch started the Iraq War and still imperils America. Craig, that is fun Christmas reading, but thank you. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
All right, there he goes. Craig Unger.
Wow.
It is.
He does his homework.
Wow, I'll say.